I had an idea as to how to start this sermon. The sermon is The Art of Perseverance. But I'm going to start it a different way. The need for perseverance makes itself aware in many ways. On the song before the Lord's Supper, my glasses felt funny. And so I reached up to adjust them on my face, and the left arm of my glasses came off in my hands. And so I will persevere this morning. And in so doing, hopefully deliver this message properly. The Art of War, a book written by Sun Tzu around 500 BC, is widely recognized as the oldest military treatise in the world. This landmark work provides principles of strategy, tactics, maneuvering, communication, and supplies, the use of terrain, fire, and the seasons of the year, the classification and utilization of spies, the treatment of soldiers, including captives. Even written so long ago, these principles have a modern ring to them. When we contemplate war, we must consider all of these things, and yes, even more. But one question to ask ourselves as we are contemplating war is, can I persevere? We today are indeed involved in a war of a spiritual nature, and our perseverance is paramount to our success. It's not just enough to participate in the war. It's not just enough to win a few battles. We must win that war, and then we will receive the prize on the other side. But do we know what perseverance is? What it means? How we may develop it? Perseverance defined is a determined continuation. Steady and continued action or belief, usually over a long period and especially despite difficult situations or setbacks. We need to value the quality of perseverance in our lives and learn to develop it as we seek to walk in the Christian faith. To develop the art of perseverance, we need first tests. Secondly, we need the truth. We need time. And finally, trust. So let's examine perseverance this morning. As we look to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, we see the words penned by the Apostle Paul as directed by the Spirit. And in this descriptive narrative, Paul gives the idea of war in which we are engaged and the preparation one must make. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." He's speaking here about the Christian's need to put on the whole armor of God, and he identifies each part of it and where it goes and what it does. The protection that we will have with on our spiritual bodies by using this armor. But this armor is useless if we put it on and do not use it properly, or if we put it on and have the improper attitude. This is what he's speaking of in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He spoke first of needing to engage in prayer and then to watch, but to watch with all perseverance. It doesn't matter if things seem to be going well. Watch. Things will soon turn. To develop the art of perseverance, we need several things. First, we need tests, trials, or troubles. These are necessary so that we can persevere. We noted earlier that the word literally means through severity. What if everything was easy? We would have no need to persevere. If everything were rosy, no trials, no tribulations, no persecutions, we would have no need to persevere. If it were easy, everybody could do it. One cannot persevere without the severe. The faithful Christian will know his share of troubles. Jesus, in talking to his disciples, never promised them a life free of trials and tribulations. In fact, in Luke chapter 21 and verse 12, when speaking to these disciples regarding the events leading up to the fall of Jerusalem, Christ spoke these words: "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." We know truly that after Christ's death, it wasn't very long before they were dragged before the magistrate and asked why they spoke the things they spoke, and they were charged not to do so. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 the same thing as he wrote to this young preacher. This was important information for him, and it is as applicable to us today as it was to Timothy. He said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul had his troubles as well. He points this out in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and following. If we need to see an example of perseverance, we need only look to the time of Paul, the life of Paul. He said, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." None of us have had to endure those kind of things. And yet, some of our number cannot persevere. In verse 28, he said, "Besides those things which that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul could not focus against or on all of the things that were being put toward him, all of the mistreatment that he had had, all of the sufferings that he had to endure, because he was focusing upon helping the church. But not all troubles are external. We can place tremendous pressure upon ourselves through worry. Many of us stress out over any and everything. I think that some people worry because they can't find anything to worry about. We can sometimes set unrealistic goals for ourselves and beat ourselves up when we can't make them. When we think negatively regarding our friends or acquaintances, when we are not thankful, when we're not rejoicing in the Lord, and a whole host of other things clouds our mind, we bring troubles upon ourselves. We need perseverance when we get ourselves into situations such as these. When we persevere through trials, we will grow as a Christian. There are people who lament the fact that they haven't grown. Perhaps they haven't grown because they haven't suffered. We all need to grow, and we must persevere in order to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, Peter said, regarding those who suffered various trials, said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, or at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that it is necessary that in this life we have trials and we have tribulation so that we may grow. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 2, these words is guided by the Holy Spirit to make us understand that truly we are blessed when we suffer. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Enduring trials, tests, and tribulation will help us to persevere. Secondly, we need truth. Truth gives us a reason to persevere. It's not enough to persevere if we don't have something to hold on to. Many soldiers who find themselves torn apart because of bombs and that sort of thing hold on to the fact that back home they have a loving family. And that helps them get back. That helps them come knowing that they might spend the rest of their lives maimed or in a wheelchair, and they come back. We must today as Christians have something in which to believe. Truth is worth persevering for. In order for our perseverance to have value, we must have truth in our lives. We have to persevere in doing the right things. When everything is crumbling around us, it gives us something to hold on to. When we look out and we see the world, and we see the pitiful shape that it's in, we can persevere because we know the truth. We know that the Lord is coming back, and those who are faithful to Him, they will be rewarded. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, we have the words of Christ. Words that were uttered to the believers to give them hope, something to hold on to. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We also have to abide in Christ's words to have truth in our lives. It's not enough just to know that the truth is out there somewhere. The soldiers on the battlefield looking to the end of their tour or the end of the war, they're looking to that which is beyond. We must have truth in our lives. In Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, we see that Paul and Barnabas are preaching the word and exhorting the believers. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again into Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue into the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord never promised that it was going to be easy. These saints, these disciples, they needed to understand that tribulation was their lot and that truth would see them through it. By persevering and by doing what's right, we can be assured that our perseverance isn't empty. We have the same exhortation given to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:58, when they might have been faltering or wavering in their faith. As we read this passage, we must realize it's also wonderful encouragement to us. He says to them, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, God is well pleased with such sacrifices. People want to point out that, you know, in the New Testament law, we don't have sacrifices. Au contraire. It's not the same as they were under the old law, but we must sacrifice. And sometimes we have to sacrifice in order to persevere. When we do what pleases God, He will bless us in our labors. We need to remember in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 that our labor is not in vain. How many people do you know who are members of the Lord's church when things get tough, when things get hard, they want to throw up their hands and they say, "Why should we continue on?" One time that question was asked, and the answer that was given, I think, was very prophetic. The answer was, "Because there's no place to get off. There's no place to quit." And we have the truth. In Hebrews 13 and 16 it says, "But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." I want you to try to do good. I want you to try to communicate truth to everyone you come in contact with. And if you can do that without sacrificing, I want you to call me. And I want you to let me know real quick, because I'll write a book and I'll share the royalties with you. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. But we have the truth. And the truth will make us free. We need also time. Time is a necessary component to perseverance. We can't say that we're persevered until a sufficient amount of time has gone by. There are many people who will do some traveling during the holidays. I am thankful that I'm beyond the time in which the child in the back seat says, "Are we there yet?" Well, I just turned out of the driveway, son. Are we there yet? Linda and I used to travel at night. There were a number of reasons for that. Number one, usually we try to cram all of our time into the visit. And so I'd work all day, come home, she'd have the car ready to go, and we'd travel. We could get there sooner. But the main reason was, about the time it got dark, our son went to sleep. And we never heard, "Are we there yet?" until we got there and woke him up. When such a question is asked without a sufficient amount of time passing, we know that someone is not persevering. That child is anxious. They want to see Grandma and Grandpa. They want to see whoever it is you're going to see, or Mickey if you're going to Disney World. But they don't realize that time must pass while you travel. Repetition also helps us to persevere. The more we experience something, the better we're able to endure it. When we know that it takes a certain number of hours to drive to a certain place, if we've driven it several times, it's fascinating to me, something that I have realized. The first time I drove from here to Jacksonville, Florida, I thought, well, did they move Jacksonville? It keeps getting further and further away. But after several trips, wow, it's just 6 hours. No problem. We recognize, however, the temporal nature of things that happen in time, and it helps us to persevere. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, to remind the brethren there of this fact. We need to remember it also. He said to them, and it applies to us, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Today, when there is trouble, when there are tribulations, when there are trials and tests, we think, it's always been this way. But the truth of the matter is, it's really for but a moment. He says, "While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We are striving toward the time when it is eternal. When we know that our days on earth are limited, time can be our friend as we struggle to persevere. I know that well-meaning parents have given good advice to children. And sometimes that advice is, well, it will only hurt for a little while, or it will only last for a little while. It gives us something to look forward to when I'm no longer sick, when I'm no longer hurting, when I'm no longer burdened by the stress and the aggravation, and understand that it's just a short period of time. If necessary, we can break it down into smaller increments. I know those who are participating in a program, go to AA meetings and that sort of thing, and you cannot look at it like, I'm going to set my goal that I'm going to be sober for a year. Many of them cannot look at it from the standpoint, well, I'm going to be sober for a month. Many of them will tell you that their sobriety is one day at a time. And those who have particularly difficult situation and difficult time with it will tell you, I'm going for an hour at a time. And then you put those hours together, and then you realize, no, it's been a day. It's been 2 days. It's been a month. It's been a year. And many of them who are successful in that program are pleased to show you the little token they give you and say, I am persevering through time. The psalmist in Psalms 90, verses 9 and 10 states the facts regarding our time here on earth. We need to be aware of the fact that our time indeed is quite limited. We look back and we see that people live to be 90 and sometimes even 100 years old. We think, wow, what a long time. But look back on your life now, regardless of your age, and you'll realize that it's really been relatively short. The psalmist says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength and labor labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." But time can be our friend in developing the art of perseverance. We need also trust. In order to persevere, we must trust in the Lord. After all, we say that we believe in God. And that's a wonderful thing. We say that we believe in Christ. We say that we believe the promises that have been made regarding this life and that which is to come. And so trusting in God will get us through difficulties like nothing else and will help us persevere. Do you not think that Paul relied upon trust when he was going through those things that were brought upon him? When he was being beaten? When he found himself in prison, bound, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness, suffering for the cause of Christ? Oh, truly he trusted. We say that we believe in God, but it's not just enough to believe. We must truly have trust. If we trust him, we will do those things that he has said for us to do. As we turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it should be evident. When we trust in God, we can know our paths are directed by him. How many of us throughout our lives have faced situations and say, "I don't know which way to turn"? What does God's word say? The psalmist wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." We need to do those things which he has said. Of course, we need to also understand that he only directs us through his word. There are those who are confused and think maybe that God is speaking to them in some way other than through his word. I have yet to find the proof of such. In fact, just the opposite is so, as he tells us throughout his word, that he has revealed his will to us and he used his word to reveal that will. This should give us strength. It should give us the ability to persevere. When we trust in the Lord, we shall endure. In Psalms chapter 125 and verse 1, we see a description of those who have trust as those which cannot move or be moved and abide forever. Notice that they are compared to a mountain, or as Mount Zion. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Oh no. Know for a fact that people are going to try to undermine your faith, question your beliefs, try to get you to stumble and to fall. When we trust in the Lord, our future will be secure. You know, there are people every day leaving this life. Their time has run out. They didn't worry about the truth. And they suffered through the trials and tribulations of this life in whatever way they could. But we must turn ourselves over to him. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse 5, we see this stated. We must commit ourselves to Him. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. What is it that He shall bring to pass? All the promises that He has made relative to our time here on this earth. If we live according to His word, He will give us the promise, the home in heaven. When we trust in the Lord, we have a safe haven. Psalms chapter 62 and verse 8 tells us that God is a refuge for us. However, we need to be fully aware of the fact that He is only a refuge to us if we will fully trust Him. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. There are many people who spend time talking to God. There are many people who involve themselves in prayer. Some do not receive the desires of their heart because their prayers are not answered by God. Well, they are answered. But God does not recognize them as their children, and therefore when they call upon Him, He does not address their prayers. When we trust in the Lord, we shall endure. Trusting in the Lord is key in developing the art of perseverance. To recap this morning, to develop the art of perseverance, we need a few things. Tests and trials. These will help make us stronger. We need the truth, and we have that. We have it in His Word. We need time, and we are granted a certain amount of time. We do not know how long it is. And so if we have not been faithful, if we have not been persevering, we can do so, and do so throughout the time that we have. And we must have trust. That trust must be in God. And as we trust Him, know that He is faithful, and He will provide for us a rest. But before we can rely upon God to provide us a rest, we must be His children. We must become a child of God. How is that to occur? It's not just through desire. It's not through just belief. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 that we are to hear the word of God. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We've seen in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that we are to believe. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We see that at one time repentance was winked at. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. But at the times of this ignorance God winked at. But notice what else it says. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We know according to Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 that we must confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we must be baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those people realized that they had crucified the Son of God, they were pricked in their hearts and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Perhaps today you've done that, but you've not been able to persevere. Well, in order to reestablish that relationship that you once had with God, having heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized as a child of God, you can reestablish that relationship by returning to Him through repentance and prayer, according to Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. This morning, let me ask you the question. Are you developing the art of perseverance? Do you have what it takes to make it to the end? If you do, you can look forward to hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If not, won't you begin today to strive to persevere. If we can help you in any way, won't you come? It's together. We sing the invitation song.